This podcast is rated G for general audiences. All ages admitted.
Mission 250.
All right, so welcome to part two of the Mission 250 Filmcast, continuation from last week. Ben-Hur, we're still talking. We got beers now. And we're just
Time that we're actually trying to pad material. Yeah, you know, obviously.
Overtly. I mean, we have so to really... because we're screwed up with our lifestyles. You know.
Yeah, Denny got married.
I got married, so we have to split this one into two parts. I figured it's appropriate because this movie's freaking 4 hours long.
4 hours long. So
yeah, almost as long as the. How long did the wedding go?
The ceremony was like half an hour.
Oh, that's not too bad. Not too bad.
Yeah, it was fun. TC helped. Thanks, TC. That was awesome. Yeah. John, we missed you, buddy.
My invoice is on the way.
Oh, man, I know.
I work for $2.50 an hour, and...
Hey, so my day rate is X amount.
Plus travel expenses.
And even though I started drinking at cocktail hour, I stopped the billing when I got really drunk, so you'll be seeing that in there.
You'll be better off than you were without... Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I cut your deal. You know.
And when I'm drunk, I'm like two-thirds time, so it's okay.
But really, I do more work.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and running around like crazy.
Four thirds.
But yeah, Ben-Hur. Yeah, we all thought it was don't recommend it, right? Good set pieces, and we're just going to keep talking about the plot. If this is the first episode you've listened to, or you do listen to it and you're confused at what's going on, go to either the first part of this one and continue afterwards, or
just skip this one altogether.
Just wait until next week.
Yeah. Wait until next week, yeah. But we are getting drunk, so it could be funny.
Go watch the Jaws episode, okay? Let me tell you.
Or the Rocky one, if you want to hear TC sound like Stallone. That's pretty good.
That was a good one. Anybody do a Heston impression?
Mm-mm. Oh, my God.
Actually,
no, that's like
bad.
The Low Rider song.
Oh, my God. Give a little lap.
Oh!
Thanks, John. Thanks for making me do that on freaking podcast. Always wanted to do the Load Rider song in the podcast.
Yeah, but even you throw lepers in there and it's golden. It's comedy golden. You just throw some lepers in there. It's great.
John Nesson's a
bum.
Hey,
I thought you didn't want to talk about lepers anymore. I got some more leper facts. Here we go.
We're talking about lepers, okay? We're talking about lepers. Are they losing their limbs?
Actually, did you guys ever read, there were these fantasy books, Thomas Covenant, The Unbeliever?
No.
No idea what you're talking about.
Very geeky, but the main character had leprosy, and he would be transported in this fantasy world where he didn't, but it was very interesting. So that's
was that
only
propaganda you read to feel better for lepers back in the day?
No.
I'm reading side effects to leprosy. It says right here, intolerance to cheese.
Yeah, intolerance to cheese. Oh no.
Oh, my face is falling off and I can't eat this.
People who are listening, that's funny if you heard the last episode.
And it might just be funny because of how random and stupid it is.
Right. But if you were a leopard, you had to do a leopard, you know, rawr.
If you're a leopard,
I keep saying leopard and then I throw the D on there and then you're like jungle cat. But you have to go through these checks. Like there's this whole system that you have to check every part of your body because you will get cuts or whatever.
Yeah,
that'll
then
get infected and you won't notice because you don't feel it. Because
you're gloves.
You have to do this constant system of checking yourself.
If you've ever gone for a hike in the woods and you have to go home and you check your taint for ticks, that's pretty much what it is every day for these people.
Taint for ticks.
Ticks love taints. Ticks. It's warm.
You should make a
it's
t-shirt.
Wet.
TC, I wish you would have just been able to be silent after that so that we could let Denny just hang out in the air with that.
I can cut you out, TC. I can cut you out for the comedic effect.
I really wish we could just have a minute or two of silence.
What did he just say? Taint for ticks?
That was really weird and uncomfortable.
But it's tape for ticks.
Wait a minute. This is way, this is not like us.
This is
going to be a hard two episodes. This is going to be a hard two.
We'll get back with The Princess Bride coming up next. Spoiler alert. I thought it was weird that Ben-Hur saves the captain from the boat and nobody else. None of the slaves.
Why was the captain all bent out of shape, by the way, when he did that, too? Chill the fuck out. I pulled you up.
He wasn't bent out of shape. He thought he lost the battle.
Yeah, but I pulled you up on the goddamn skiff so you could live.
He wanted to kill himself is what he wanted to do.
Ah, what a bum.
Did he?
Yeah, he tried to kill himself. That's what he was struggling to do. He was struggling to kill himself because he thought he lost the battle, so he thought he was screwed.
I didn't get any of that. I thought that he was just like...
I didn't get any of that either. I thought I was just being stupid.
Yeah.
No, he was reaching for his knife, and Heston was restraining him.
Oh, I thought he was going to try to stab Heston.
He hit him in the head with the thing.
He had to hit him in the head so he wouldn't kill himself.
No, I thought he was going to stab Heston. I thought he was going to attack him to escape.
Yeah, that's what I thought. I thought he was going to attack Heston.
No. No.
How do you know that? How do you know that? I don't
buy that. What are you talking about? Where'd you come from with that?
Let me look at the...
Where's your facts?
Yeah, tell me what you, because I mean, I thought he was just going to attack Heston to escape.
That's what I thought, Daddy. I was right there with you.
Yeah.
That's why I'm asking
the
question.
No, he wasn't doing that at all. No, he was trying to kill him. He's trying to kill himself because he thought he lost the battle.
I want proof. I want proof. John, I got proof, and I'll just keep going. So I don't know what you're doing, but are you looking up something?
I'm trying.
I just thought it was weird, like, again, with the why is Ben-Hur so good? He doesn't save his co-slaves, you know, the friends he's made or whatever. He
in
saves
despair,
the captain
this is,
that
this
hasn't
is from the wiki. I am going to totally interrupt you right now.
Okay.
Here we go. He's got
breaking
proof,
news.
Baby.
This is from the Wikipedia page.
Best,
so I don't know
best minute of John's life. Here it goes.
Here we go. It's going to prove Denny wrong.
Arius orders all the rowers except Judah to be chained to their oars. Arius's galley is rammed and sunk, but Judah unchains the other rowers and rescues Arius in despair. Arius wrongly believes the battle ended in defeat and attempts to atone in the Roman way by falling on his sword, but Judah stops him.
Damn, John.
Dun, dun, dun.
Yeah, so when they get back on the, when they're in the ocean, he's trying to save him again, then he's pissed. Yeah.
He's all like, dude, let me stab myself in the gut. Come on now.
Okay. I wrote down, dude, what's this guy's problem? This guy saved
Charlton
him.
Wasn't going to let
guy,
him.
Guy, he saved you, guy. Guy, what's your deal, guy? Guy. I'm over here and by myself. Guy, hey, guy, he saved you. What's your problem, guy? Calm down, dude.
I hope you're upstairs, or I hope you share a wall with somebody and they just hear you yelling at your TV.
Oh, yeah, no, window's wide open. People are fucking laughing at me. You know, it's typical of me. Guy, I'm over here. Guy, he saved you, bro.
It's all right. It's still better than the crack house a block away, whatever's coming out of there.
Oh, no, you can hear them cheering for me. They're like, yeah, he's right. He's right. I knew it.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know, man. The scene, too, where he's, like, up in the boat when he sees the bigger boat and he starts waving. I could see
that
Heston
was ridiculous.
Sucking his stomach in, man. He was sucking his stomach in.
Yeah, yeah.
And his wave was, I'm like, this is just downright silly. This is bad.
That was a I agree.
Freaking Charlton Heston, man. He can't. Does he show his chest in every movie? Is that his thing?
I mean, as long as there's enough shoe polish on set, then yes.
He
chest
get the,
out, boys.
Yeah, he gets the bronze shoe polish. He does.
Ooh, it's dark.
I bet he tanned, though. I bet back then, wasn't it? I mean, he was alive when, like, they had those flyers where it was like, the sun is healthy. Had a bunch of, like, tan people. And now it's like, don't go in the sun.
They'd be, like, on the roof with the foil.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Cooking themselves.
Cooking themselves, loving it.
Let's see. I'm starting to get to the point where I think I started giving up trying to make my notes look clear. Rome sets. How much real? So many extras. There was a scene in Rome where everyone's marching towards like the front, I guess. It looked like there was like 100,000 freaking people there.
Yeah, I agree. I was going to ask you about that one. Did they split the frame up and then like composite stuff or what?
I don't know.
It looked like it just kept going. I was like, there's no way they have that many people on set.
They
gotta be adding stuff.
I thought that too during the chariot race part, but apparently all the extras were real. There were like 1,500 of them, and that entire set was real.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, so, like the costume budget was insane.
Yeah.
Like the amount of like red cloaks they had to stitch and everything was amazing.
So many capes. Yeah, I couldn't. I unfortunately, again, I didn't. If you didn't listen to the first part or forgot, the Blu-ray I got, it comes in two discs because it's 4 hours long. And the commentary is split into two different parts. And the second disc was broken. So I had to rent the movie after getting the Netflix, but at least I had the first half commentary, but not the second half. So I don't know what was going on with that part, which kind of sucks. Sorry, everyone. Blame Netflix. They didn't have any backup discs. Or blame John because he has the other one.
And blame me, too, because we don't even bother to try.
Yeah. John has the information in a red envelope in his house, right? Or it might be being shipped back right now. I don't know. Do you wait out till after the day? What do you do, John? What's your Netflix schedule, John? Do you do it after you watch it, or do you keep it just in case you forget something?
I'm not telling you these things.
I lazily often forget to put it back, and then it's like...
And then you have to rent it on Amazon, and you're like, ah, crap.
It's like, oh, no, we got the next movie. We got to get these back.
Yeah. You ever rent them on Amazon because you forget?
Sometimes.
Me too.
Some of them you have to just go buy because, you know.
Yeah. I bought Touch of Evil. for some reason.
I had to go buy the Studio Ghibli one.
Oh, yeah. Naomi bought all of those ones. So we're just sitting on a stack of Ghibli movies.
You just have those now.
Yeah. So I wrote down a jump cut too, TCU. This is what I thought you were talking about.
Oh, cool.
He was, and I think we're defining the word differently. The jump cut definition I'm using is that it like jumps a large period of time in the movie, strangely.
Oh, no. I don't think so.
I don't know if that's the correct way to use it. But so there's a period of time where after he saves the commander from the boat, it jumps again. The time they say how long it was is confused. But it was about either 3 or 5 years, it sounds like. And then he was a freaking chariot racer. Like, it jumps past the point where he becomes a Roman champion chariot racer. They just skip all of that stuff. And that's kind of important, I thought. I was like, why would you skip that? That's got to be better than everything else going on in this movie. Like, why wouldn't you do that? You know? I don't know. You know what I'm talking about, though?
Yeah, at least sounds like you guys have no idea. I would call that like a smash cut.
Smash cut. Yeah. Sorry.
Yeah.
I'm still not sure what a jump cut is, but it doesn't matter. You try
jump
to just...
cut. Jump cut is when it's when you see a frame that's the same frame and you see a jump in the, like.
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah, right. Like where it's like they're standing there and then it jumps and there's like just two different takes from the same position, but then the actors are in different spots.
Yeah.
And it was like, whoa, like we're in the same scene and we just jump cut.
So it's just a bad filmmaking kind of.
Yeah, it's like they must not have shot anything else, I guess, and had nothing to cut to. I don't know, and they still needed to finish the thought. I don't know.
Yeah.
Could have been my version, too, just a bad digital.
Yeah, could have just skipped. The DVD could have just went, boop, skip.
Right. So who knows?
Thought it was weird how Charlton Heston got adopted by an adult man. That was pretty strange.
Well, I think he was supposed to be younger than he was. Like, he was supposed to be like...
Yeah, a guy was, 40 in that goddamn movie?
No, yeah. Charlton Heston is supposed to be 60. So he's in the book, he's enslaved for 30 years. So he's 60 when he saves the guy.
What?
In the movie, it was 3 to 5 years, right, depending upon which you ask.
Wow.
So it seemed in the movie that he was supposed to be like a kid. You know, like the guy thought that was like the son that he never had.
A young adult.
Like a bronzed, sinewy, muscular, strong man we should trust everything
like shoe
with.
Shoe polish. Really good shoe polish. And just looking good up there, you know? Yeah.
Oh, man. John loves it. John's getting agitated. When John doesn't laugh, he's just sitting there like, these freaking clowns.
Oh, God, do I actually know these people? Yeah. Like, these people actually are my friends. Yeah. What
decisions have I made in life to come to this?
God, how much longer until I can get rid of these two?
This guy's just starting to freak me out. You're just cutting too close to home here. Come on now.
Yeah. A wise man meets Judah again, talks to God. What does that mean? Wise man? Oh, yeah.
I don't know.
The wise man from the very beginning.
I love how you like read your notes and you throw it at us like we know.
Prompts him. Yeah, like we should know.
I don't usually do this because usually movies aren't 4 hours long. You know, this is hard to remember crap in this movie and just like everything's so boring.
Yeah.
So it was just so hard to focus. Like, so the scene I'm talking about here, and the reason I didn't remember it, it's coming back now, is when he's on his way. He's not even back yet. He's just in the middle and he lays down on the ground and he dumps water on his face. And one of the wise men just happens to be there and comes over and they start talking about God and stuff.
I mean, it's water cooler talk at that point. Hey, what are you going to do? Right? I mean, they're just at work.
Do you remember that part, John? Does that?
No, really.
No, because it was completely pointless and it took about 10 minutes of our time.
Hey.
10 minutes.
We got some good water cooler talking, you know.
So I tried to call the intermission. Did you guys try to call the intermission? I was like, we're pretty far along here. I bet the intermission is now. And I was wrong.
No, I went to get more beer at the intermission.
No, I mean, like before it happened, were you trying to call like when the movie was going to...
So, no, I had no idea there was going to be one. So,
okay, John, did you?
No, I wasn't surprised, but I had no idea.
I figured with an overture, it was like intermission incoming. You know?
No, yeah. Now I'm looking back on it, I'm like, I probably should have realized when there was an overture in the beginning that there would be intermission.
Yeah, I don't know if we have many more films. I know Lawrence of Arabia does the same thing.
Oh, does it? Seven Samurai does it.
Intermission.
Yeah.
You might want to go take a piss. We've been sitting here for 3 hours.
Yeah. Lord of the Rings does it right. It just is 3 hours and a half, and then it just doesn't let you pee.
Yeah.
TC, look forward to that one, man. That one's the best. Yeah. So.
So every time you tell me to look forward to something, I really just don't want to do it. Yeah. So. Don't do it to me.
Are we going to carry over, John? Here we go. Should we carry over TC's skip movies? Can he save? He'll have possibly four saved up in the last 50 if he wants.
What do you mean?
Like you can skip a movie one every 50? Do they carry over? Are they roll over?
Oh, like if you don't do it, do they roll over?
Yeah, do they roll over to the next 50?
That's awesome. No, it shouldn't. It shouldn't.
Maybe one.
No.
How about you can roll over one?
One per 50.
One per 50.
And you're still going to be
hey, look, I went through this one, so I'm obviously in it.
Yeah, that is true. Which one didn't you watch? I forget. You didn't watch one of the first 50, so we had to make that rule for you.
I don't remember.
I forget. There was one you're just like, yeah, I didn't watch it. I didn't watch it. And you're like, okay.
Well, that's kind of like the point.
Diaboliques or one of those stupid movies. I don't remember.
It was definitely an old one. It had to be an old one.
So I started and I got about 10 minutes in and just didn't watch it.
Yeah.
So what does that mean?
We don't even know.
Playing golf faster. I think golf took your attention.
I could talk about it being bad.
Talking about how bored I was in the first 10 minutes.
I watched this one. I was like, I got to get through this whole thing. It took me 2 days.
That's not bad. This took me 2 days, too.
Yeah, this is a good... I think it was a two-day one for me, too.
Didn't you guys get to like almost 2 hours? You were just like, all right, I'm got to take a break from this.
Intermission seemed like a good time.
Intermission? I didn't even get to intermission. I broke way before intermission.
Definitely way past the two-hour mark. It was only like an hour left in the movie after the...
Yeah, I was so happy when I saw it. I was like, hell yeah, I got another break. Great. Awesome. That means it was good that I stopped watching it before X amount, you know? But again, I didn't hate it, you know, so I just didn't like it that much.
He said he was 3 years in the boat to the captain. When the captain asked him, like, how long have you been a slave on these boats? He says, 3 years.
3 years.
And then he says, it says like 4 years later.
Maybe it was that boat in particular.
No, he says boats because he's new on this boat, and he asks him
maybe
3 years before that.
Yeah,
right.
It took like a year. Maybe he had like oar training
4 years
for
total.
Year.
But then, even if so, the longer that period of time, it says 4 years since he got kidnapped when he goes and meets his old girlfriend again. He says like it's been 4 years, so it's 3 years in the boats,
1 year on the other boat.
So it's 3 years plus on boats in general. 4 years max, he's gone, and he becomes a chariot champion with the extra time there.
Well,
he does.
They're just gonna have to take the movie out of circulation now, Denny. He just called him.
Do you know what I mean, though? Like, what the hell? Like, does he win 5 chariot championships in 8 months?
He's just so good.
He is good.
He's
Ben.
Got
all that
shoe
rowing,
polish on. Yeah,
it's like
a cross
kid. It's like all that rowing translates into like the holding of the reins.
Dude, the rowing was in shape. He's in shape. He's ready. Yeah.
But don't you think all the other slaves would be ready too? Because they're doing the same crap he is. Why is he so special?
They don't have God on their side.
Yeah, that's true. Why is God on his side? So many questions.
This is the richest one in the land.
Yeah.
God's typically on their side.
And then late, like 10 minutes after all that time, like saying stuff, one Roman guy says, it's been 5 years since you have been captured. And it's
Are we time traveling?
Yeah.
Are we just time traveling all over the place?
I don't know, man. It was just like, all right, did no one care or am I missing something? I just think no one cared. They're just like, yeah, just put years. How many years? I don't know. Like
nobody's
three?
Paying attention. Hey guys, this is hour 3.5. Nobody's paying attention. That other one happened in hour 1. We're good.
People are really sleepy at this point.
Yeah, exactly.
So the ring, there's a promise ring? I don't know. Lepers, that's my other note.
We talked about the ring already.
Go into the Valley of Lepers. Let me just read my notes to the end, see if there's anything here. Lepers.
Sure.
His wife slash mother.
That'll be faster.
Go into the Valley of the Lepers. he's never to know. How shallow are people? Promise not to tell you, Judah. She tells him immediately.
Ooh.
Good job. This is only the intermission. Oh my God.
Jesus Christ. How much longer? This is about the time I was asking myself every time I checked. Really? That much longer?
I didn't think so. We've been pretty negative on this. I thought it was good when Esther, so it was dumb that she interacted with the parents the way she did. But she went in and did the right thing. I was like, how are they going to do this? Because this is really stupid right now. But when she goes in and tells Judah that her mother and sister are dead, I thought that was good. Like, I was like, good job, Esther. That was the right decision, I guess. You know?
Really?
Positivity.
I hate Esther. So anything she does was absolute garbage. Worst character in the movie.
You think? You don't think the horse
boring
was worse?
Ass Esther.
What? The horse? I love the horse guy.
Did you?
Horse guy's great. He's shoe polish.
He was great.
What are you talking about? SP?
I mean, he was
love
shoe polish, but he had some great dialogue. I really like that scene.
Great, good.
I thought the scene was great where he was in
John,
the,
you're getting sick of us, John? TC's being hilarious. You got nothing. You're just bouncing right off you. Superman, TC's
hey,
bones.
I'm trying.
Listen. Okay, John. Sorry, listen. I'm listening.
Okay, John. We're listening. waiting here, John.
Oh, John.
Come on. Come on.
Hey, I really like the sheet where he went into the Roman bathhouse and he really like coerced them into making bets. I thought it was a really good scene.
That was funny when he showed up and he showed all his money off. Like, hey, come on, there's plenty of money to go around. Don't worry about it.
1,000 talents. Is that a lot? Is that what he? That's
1,000 talents.
Right?
Talents.
Yeah, it was a lot.
1,000 talents.
I meant like pounds of gold.
I have a good question here. Is he riding for Jesus? Is he riding for Jesus, guys?
He might be riding for Jesus.
Yeah.
Are you riding for Jesus?
Well,
he's riding for Judea, kind of. Like, they made it out like that. Like, he was this conquered people's savior.
He's riding for the
hero. He was like a hero. It's like, all right, so you get conquered, you know, and then you, like, beat the conquerors in the chariot race, which, you know, whoop-de-doo.
But it was his friend, and they threw spears together.
I mean, they did.
They did. They grew up together.
Yeah. Would Ben-Hur have been like the twinkle in Jesus' eye if he wasn't so damn sultry?
For sure. Definitely.
You think he would have been?
Yeah. One day he was the president of the NRA. He would have said right after that. He winked at him. It was perfect hairline.
Wait, he doesn't have. What are you talking about? Jesus? I'm confused. Are we talking about Jesus here or Charlton Heston?
I'm talking about Jesus. Okay. I'm talking about Jesus.
Yeah. Hey, how you doing, John? We got 40 more minutes of this.
No, I gotta go to bed.
Oh, do you?
Well, yeah, it's late.
You got another
Sunday night. I gotta work tomorrow.
We're getting two episodes out here, John. We're getting two episodes out here.
This feels cheap, man. It's a good thing we don't have advertising.
Yes.
It's a good thing.
Well, that's the whole point. We don't.
I don't know, dude. Yeah. I'm laughing.
I mean, it's
I'm sweating
funny.
Laughing.
It's pretty funny. Personally. Yeah, it's pretty funny. I mean, I don't know what else you can do about, you know, the horses really are the best part of the movie.
Yeah, probably.
The horses are great. Yeah.
Right? I mean.
Right. The chariot racing.
I mean, every time there's horses in the on screen, it's a good part of the movie.
Pretty good. They really, like when all the horses were galloping together and when there was like the four
they looked pretty
black
real,
the four white.
But they were going fast.
Yeah.
But
I think they might
I still
been.
Think it was sped up.
The metal inside the spokes. There was one part in the chariot race where he shoves the metal into the spokes of the other tire and it spins around like 10 times and doesn't fall off. Wouldn't one rotation with a metal spike in your spokes?
Yes.
Ruin the tire?
Stop. I would think so.
Yeah.
I'm not sure how you ever, like with the chariot, you've got like your four horses are like four horses wide. Like
so
in front
how
of
can you get you have to swing, I think. You have
yeah,
to swing.
Yeah, you had to like, I don't get that. Like how you'd be able to
you gotta
that
swing.
Easily. Yeah, yeah. I don't think that would be that easy to do. Like,
but
without,
as soon
like,
as they would get locked up like that, then the horses would collide too because the horses would come back.
Yeah,
so, right, so that's
four
a thing,
abreast,
right?
And either side. Yeah. So it's like you need to have
you
need
could
to have
swing
some,
the chariot.
Well, you need those you know? Spokes to be a lot longer. They need to like extend beyond the like four horses.
But eventually, the horses are going to be next to each other and they're going to collide, and then someone's eating. You know, whether it's the guy that swung first or not, I don't know. But someone's going down.
I wonder if that was the inspiration for any future car movie like James Bond where you get the like tire slashers coming out of the side.
Oh, it's got to be.
Like, watch out for the swing.
Do you think it might have been written in the book, though? It might have like originated in the book or the older movie, possibly. I have no idea.
I don't know the older movie. Yeah, that was like the first instance of a tire slasher.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, there was that Mad other Max. Time where they got locked into each other too, where like the wheel crossed over the other wheel and they went into that groove of like being next to each other but crossed. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. When they show you those scenes of the like the tire spinners getting into the tires, you didn't get a zoom out to see like the horse where the horses were at the time.
True, they were like right focused on the.
You'd see the
carriage.
Focus in on that, so that was always like, yeah, I don't know.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
Well, that I mean, they fooled me because I was asking, I'm like, how are they doing this? You know, it's like, oh, you're not seeing the horses. Oh, true.
Yeah.
Right.
It could have just been really wide chariots. I don't know. I agree, though. That is a good point.
It was fun to watch, though, either way.
Was
that
great.
Was a good scene.
Best part of the movie. Yeah.
Oh, no, by far. Like, I was tense. It was good action.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah.
it was scary because they're like, these people are, you're gonna, like, am I get, I'm about to watch somebody die? Am I gonna watch someone die on screen? Because I don't want to do that, really.
I mean, when the guy got run over, I thought he was toast. So
that was a dummy, apparently.
The build up to that was amazing. Like, even that was amazing. Good. Like, them getting the horses all in a line, and that looked crazy. Like, just even getting them all, like, to line up.
They definitely didn't have to show them trotting all the way around, though. They could have.
Yeah.
They wasted a bunch of time getting to the starting line.
That was kind of impressive to watch, though, because
when they were all at the starting line trying to keep those horses in line.
Yeah,
it was cool.
Yeah.
And just the set. Yeah, that set was. I mean, dear God, I'm not surprised they haven't done anything like that again, because that was.
Yeah. Right.
They probably couldn't.
Computers.
Yeah.
Yeah. It would be. Yeah.
Here's a question that I don't really understand. How did dude know Judah thought mother and sister were dead?
Wait,
so his friend knew that Judah thought his mother and sister were dead. How did he know that?
Uh-huh.
They didn't have that conversation.
I think they sort of left it out, like his former buddy was supposed to like produce them, and if he couldn't, then there were problems, right?
But
so I think I don't know. But then Esther told him that they were dead because that's what they wanted.
Right. But then when the freaking, I forget what his name is, the bad guy, Roman, after the chariot race was dying, he told him, he's like, dude, your parents aren't dead. They're in the leper colony. And I was like, how did you know that he thought his parents were dead? Because he didn't talk to you about it. You guys aren't friends. You know, I don't know. Didn't make sense.
God told him.
God, Jesus. A grown man knows the world he lives in. And this world is Rome. And I agreed with that. Like, that's supposed to be a bad thing.
Yeah, I love Rome.
That was Pontius Pilate's speech, right?
Yeah.
And I really liked that speech. I really thought that was really well written. I was like, wow, this is a good bit of dialogue. And I really liked that part. Yeah. And it made a lot of sense.
It did. And like that's a good advice. You know, it's like, don't kid yourself, you know, if like Rome's taking over like start living in that world, you know? That's what like living in the world
like,
is.
Look, your sister like kicked a brick off the roof and that killed one of our main dudes almost, you know? So come on, let's just all move on.
Yeah.
Fall in.
So mother/daughter equals burn in hell because of vanity. I don't know. I don't think so.
What?
I think I'm just I'm confused at the end of this movie. Are we watching Jesus die? Answer is yes.
It got confusing though, because it just kept going for no reason too.
Yeah. Yeah, you're watching the whole crucifixion was kind of there, but sort of as a side, kind of like, you know, because it was about Ben-Hur, but then, you know.
The Jesus stuff came in so randomly, and it was such a different thing. It was almost comical whenever Jesus came back.
Yeah, came out of nowhere.
Yeah.
Came out of nowhere.
Added to the fact that you got always got Jesus' backside kind of, too. It was just like almost like.
Yeah, but the hair.
Like it was some weird cameo. Like, yeah.
Yeah, it seemed like Monty Python.
Oh, there's the Son of God.
Yeah.
Some creepy, creepy cameo.
Well, I didn't know when you look at the cover of Ben-Hur, that's where Life of Brian got their cover too. So the way Ben-Hur is written on the usual movie posters, that's the way they did Life of Brian. I didn't know that.
Oh.
Which we'll get to see Life of Brian.
Yeah, that's on here.
Life of Brian?
Sweet. It's a good one.
What is that?
It's Monty Python.
Oh. Have you not? Wow, TC. That's going to be fun.
Yeah.
You'll enjoy it.
Maybe. Possibly. You kind of need to know a lot about the Bible to enjoy that one too.
Oh, no. Oh God. Ah!
See, it makes fun of it though.
There's this scene where Jesus is carrying his cross, and I wrote a couple of seconds of no overwhelming music kicked right back as soon as Jesus is like, upright.
Where's the orchestra? They took a break, and you thought you could eat your meal in peace, but no.
Yeah, and
no,
I was like, oh, this back. Is not. Oh, crap, it's back. Crap.
Shit.
Yeah. And that's the end, guys. That's the end of my freaking plot parts.
Good.
Plot parts. What kind of trivia you got?
Are there other parts?
I got trivia.
Oh, crap.
Don't worry. It's not too much. I can only do half of it. I just wanted to say the end I thought was really, really stupid, how the rain came and cured people. We already talked about that, but like, holy crap. That was just bad, I thought.
Yeah.
Right. But not everybody. Just certain people.
Well, now
we
know. Like I said, at least we know leprosy gets cured by, you know, Lord Jesus Christ.
And if you met him and he approves of you.
Yeah. It kind of pisses me off too, because this movie definitely gets a pass from people who like it, because they're like, well, that's what happened. And you're like, screw you, man. Like, this is a movie. You have to give us the information we need to understand what's going on. And that is really shoehorned in the end there. And it, like, the way it's, you know, I don't know. I don't think it rained, right? Like, there's the whole "you wash away the sins of the world" or whatever phrase from
there
Christianity.
There you go. There you wash it. There you go.
But then
there you
like,
go.
Wash it actually away. Wash it. You don't actually wash it with rain, right? I don't know. It seems stupid.
You might.
Whatever.
I'm just an ignorant bastard who likes movies and thought that that was a crappy freaking ending that seemed very like Deus Ex Machina. Like, oh, happy for what reason? Why are they saved? What happens? Jesus? I guess it's Jesus, right? Okay.
Jesus.
Jesus can do everything. Cool. All right.
So Jesus.
Thanks for the 4 hours.
Yeah, it was a good 4 hours.
It's not like he's going to heal everybody. Come on.
Yeah. Otherwise, how could you have this weird stories about people who like still like Jesus after suffering a lot of stuff? You know, that, those are important stories too for some reason.
Oh yeah.
Sorry, audience. Yeah. Freaking pissing people off.
Timmy agrees.
Heston didn't think this was. He didn't say outright that this is the most important film of his career, which I thought was weird because I would think it would be pretty easily the most important film.
What
of his
about
career.
The Ten Commandments? You think that would be maybe?
Oh, yeah, that's a good point, I guess. Yeah.
Oh, God,
that's a good
those point. Movies are so lame, though. They're so religious.
See, I'm paying attention. Yes. I'm still here. Yep. Just letting you know.
So we're going to call these movies
and
the
go,
SP
and go
movies.
Another 10 minutes before I have to validate myself.
Yeah. That excites me because it means you're going to be on here for another 10 minutes. All right.
I'm wrong.
During the overture on the commentary, whoever the non-Charlton Heston guy was, his name is Gene, as interesting as that name is, gave an entire book history lesson that lasted the 10 minutes of the overture. So I was just like, dear God, this freaking movie, so freaking long. The book was not initially popular. The first check of the writer was $300, which is not much. It took 3 years for it to catch on, which is interesting because you'd think that a book about Jesus would be like hotcakes or something, you know?
Maybe.
Yeah.
Kind of glad it wasn't.
Maybe, but it was strange. It's like a totally made up story about somebody incidental to Jesus that Jesus kind of does cameos like 3 or 4 times.
Yeah. Jesus yep. cameo. That's, this is the only movie.
I mean, that's a good sum. You could basically take that snippet and then, you know, cancel the rest of our podcast
but,
out.
But they call it a story of the Christ. But again, maybe the book did a better job of this in terms of like the idea. The idea is that Jesus, at least, you know, traditional Jesus was all about compassion and forgiveness and not getting revenge.
And really nice hair.
Really nice hair. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you don't need revenge when you got really nice hair.
Yeah, but maybe in the book, Ben-Hur, like, lets go of revenge and anger and all of that. And maybe that's kind of the point, right? But
then it's Heston, so he's like, he can't let go of anger. So they're like, all right, we'll just change the plot.
I didn't see him in the movie. Well, he can't let go of anger, so we'll just cure his wife and sister. That'll be all right.
That'll be good. That'll
yeah, I mean, no one likes a leper. Jeez. I mean, I asked my, I was like, what are you doing this weekend? I got to watch Ben-Hur. Oh, I hated that one. I hated it.
Thumbs down.
Why? Why? I don't know. I just don't see what anybody likes about it. Okay. It's one of those mom answers, right?
Like, I don't get it. I can't explain myself, but I didn't like it.
Yeah, I don't need to. I don't care. Yeah. I don't care. It sucks.
Totally acceptable opinion.
I don't even think of that. I mean, it's movies.
Yeah. John, would you recommend, not that we're right, would you recommend this to people, John? I don't think TC would. Make an assumption. No.
I think if you've got, like you said, Denny, if you've got access, if you can see the horse racing scenes on YouTube, the chariot scenes.
Just skip the rest of the movie. Yes. Just see the best scenes.
Also, like some of the scenes where they're like, you know, the procession scenes where you have like the cast of thousands. I think those are the things that are worth seeing.
The boat scene is pretty really cool. The rowing scene.
The internal rowing scenes are cool. Like the Pontius, I like Pontius Pilate's speech. I thought that was good. I thought that the bathhouse scene was good. And that's it.
What about, I kind of like.
I'm telling you, if you have interns, make them watch this.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is the best thing ever.
I kind of like the matte painting in the beginning with the Jesus spaceship shot. Like, I thought that was pretty nice. I like the colors.
It looked good. Yeah. Yeah. It did look good, but I don't know.
Yeah.
But it made me uncomfortable.
Yeah. Here,
I was like, that's Jesus. What this is going to be. Yeah. God damn it. God.
Freaking
I said God.
Score.
God.
Freaking score.
Damn it.
So this book. Even though it wasn't popular the first 3 years, was super popular afterwards. It became a stage play before movies were a thing, and it was like one of the most popular ones. They had like horses. They did like the horse scenes. They did the boat scenes. They had horses on treadmills on the stage to do the chariot scenes, which sounds pretty awesome. Like if they still did that, that'd be pretty sweet.
A little precarious horse on a treadmill. But
real horses on a stage, like acting. Like how do you do that? That's weird. Quo Vadis was the precursor to this. I'm not sure if I'm saying that right, but that was a movie that was the same Roman set, costumes, etc., that the producer of this movie did right before this movie, and they used the same set, so they kind of saved some money there, I guess. But they still spent a lot of money on costumes, but they did build stuff in Rome they reused, same production studio, MGM, I guess. So, I don't know. The producer also died making this movie, which sucks.
That sucks.
Only guy who died making this movie had a heart attack halfway through. And I think he's the only producer to win a posthumous Best Picture award from the Oscars still.
Damn, that's whack though, huh?
Did you, and I noticed this part. Did you guys notice the lion did not roar at the beginning of the movie?
Yeah, I saw. I read that in the Wikipedia article. Like they felt it would be
irreverent.
Not only should you, you should only show Jesus's beautiful backside. They shouldn't have the lion roar either.
Yeah, who cares?
Amputated feet and arms, that's okay, but don't let the lion roar.
Yeah, it's really weird. As long as it's, not next to, like bookending, I think it was just too close to the Jesus part. Like, if you had a lion roar and then went straight into, like, Jesus being bored, that would be bad.
Right, right.
But as long as you buffer the no arm part with, like, 2 hours of dialogue, then you're fine.
Maybe it's okay.
Yeah. There apparently, so I wrote this down because I thought this was funny. Kraft cheese commercial was the reason for the boom of television in certain extents. There was apparently the Kraft singles they sold back in the 50s. Kraft as a company got a lot of phone calls. This sounds off topic, but it's not. About from people that couldn't separate the individual slices of cheese. So Kraft put a commercial on television back when TV was brand new. And in the commercial, they kind of slyly showed people how to separate the cheese properly. And the phone calls stopped. The complaints. So that was like, and I'm not sure where in TV history this goes, but that was a big moment for people, advertisers, knowing how big, the population watching television was. And that started the boom of MGM selling. Like, because of that, they put MGM owns Wizard of Oz. That was put on television. That helped them, like, finance this movie, because this was a Hail Mary throw for MGM. They were going, like, their business was not doing well. They needed a hit. They pretty much were banking on this movie. And if this movie did not deliver, they would have gone bankrupt. So thanks to this movie, MGM still exists, which is cool. But yeah, cheese commercial, I guess. I don't know. Is that interesting? No?
Yeah. Cool. No, that was actually a really cool tidbit.
Cheese of the future.
Kraft cheese. I can't imagine being like a call person at Kraft to be like, yeah, you grab the corner. It doesn't matter what corner.
No,
a corner.
No. So you take the plastic, right? You see the corner. Yep. No. Don't grab the middle. What did I say? You take the corner.
Sir, are you eating the cheese? Like, it's getting harder and harder to understand
you. Sir, is the cheese out of the thing? Yeah. All right. Have a good day.
No, don't
sir.
Swallow the plastic. Don't swallow the plastic. Don't. Ah.
So you know what? You. Like swallow the plastic.
Early technical support.
Yeah.
Yeah. God, swallow the
thing. I hope you choke on it. Stop calling me.
Hang up, sir. Anyways, that's the only thing I can contribute.
Yeah, that was good. Most expensive film of the time, $14.5 million. And Charlton Heston had a good quote during the commentary. He says, you couldn't make a kid's movie for that now. I'm not sure. Like, I don't know why Charlton Heston thinks kid movies are cheap, but...
No, but if you were to count for inflation or whatever, it's like in the hundreds of millions. So.
I think, his intent was meaning like a little kid couldn't make a movie for that, which is true.
I thought you meant you couldn't make a movie for kids.
I don't think that's what he meant. That's what he said, but I mean, kids' movies are expensive.
I didn't hear the guy, so I don't know.
I think his connotation was that a little kid couldn't make a movie for that.
What?
Like an amateur couldn't make, like, indie movies are more expensive than $14.5 million these days.
Right.
So I think that's what his point is.
I don't know.
Some of them are movies.
They don't have to be.
They don't have to be. Yeah. Wyler always sits below the camera lens when they're making movies. So he kind of like sees what the camera's seeing to see if a take is good. He does a lot of takes.
So he's not like looking through the camera.
No, he's sitting like the camera is like above him and he has a chair and he sits with his head right below the lens watching the takes.
Interesting.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. After the first day of the shoot, Wyler came into Charlton Heston's trailer and said, "You have to be better." And Heston said, "Excuse me?" And he went, "If I knew what it was, I would tell you specifically, but I don't. but I do know you have to be better. And then he left.
That's great. So,
so he's like, dude, suck you it. Suck, dude. Stop sucking.
So, by the way, you're terrible, and there's not enough shoe polish on this fucking set to make you good. All right, guy?
Exactly.
Get it together. Show up tomorrow. Be better.
It sounds like Heston loved him, though, even though he was like, he didn't yell at people, but he was hard to work with because he did a lot of takes. He did as many takes per shot as the studio allowed him, which for him, since he made a bunch of hit movies, was between 8 and 10 takes on average per every shot.
Wow.
And for movies like this, that was really hard.
Damn.
The javelins were on wires, and they had to they didn't digitally remove them. They just had to find the right camera angle and the right lighting. So I didn't see wires. Like, you cannot see them. So whatever they did.
I didn't see them either.
Yeah. Whatever they did.
I'm surprised.
Them.
Yeah. It looked good.
It worked.
Yeah. The throws look good.
Yeah. The Romans are always wearing red. I don't know if that's a Roman thing.
I thought they always
wore
red.
That's a Roman thing.
Is it a Roman thing?
Of course. Yeah.
Well, then.
Can't wear anything else.
They brought it up in the commentary like it was a big deal, but yeah.
Wearing blue.
Were you guys confused about what Charlton Heston was like touching as he went into his house every time, and then he cried on top of it once? It was like a little box.
No,
it was like a menorah, wasn't it? I thought it was a symbol.
It's called a mezuzah.
A mezuzah. Yeah, you have a Jewish wife.
I do, and she knew what it was, and I had never seen that, and they didn't explain it, so I feel kind of like an asshole bringing it up, but I don't know what the symbolism of that was, like why he cried on it. The movie was trying to be religious. It's like, oh, remember, this guy is a Jewish person. But they don't talk about that for most of it.
They don't really do this at all or really approach this, but it's not just religion, but he's representing a conquered people like the Jews. He's representing them as well.
And
that, you know, they don't go into this really much at all. A little bit after Pontius Pilate talks to him and they sort of like says, look, your people see you as a hero now, so that's not going to be good for me if you're going to be a rebel. But they don't go into it a whole lot. And certainly Ben-Hur's character doesn't really seem to emote much one way or the other about his people, anything like that. But yeah, I think that was kind of it's the idea
that
he's supposed to represent. Yeah.
But I like that. Yeah. Works. I don't think they did enough to like merit that, but yeah, that definitely,
No, I agree. I think that's why take the story itself. Like you have the childhood friend that becomes the enemy. You have a man who's this reluctant hero of his people. And then you also have the Jesus thing going on. You have kind of this really interesting story, but none of it happened. None of it like was really explored in the movie. It really just was this more kind of revenge tale, which, wasn't really revenge because Jesus was around.
Yeah.
Somehow.
Mm. Yes.
Right.
Very good points. I agree
with all that. Well put, yeah. John. Well put.
I'm here. That was my 10-minute mark again. Drip back in
10. All right.
All right.
So Heston, on his acting, he mentioned his crying in this movie. I personally thought was terrible. I don't know what you guys thought. It was really overdone and bad, I thought.
His laughing, his happiness, all of it was bad.
So,
like all overdone.
Nice, John. So his comment was...
Like that gif you had of his happy
GIF
was... Terrible.
Yeah,
he comments on
the dog.
This is what I wrote down.
He
like people apparently asked him during the crying scene. He's like, "Is it hard to cry on film?" And he's like, "It's not as hard as you'd think. Sometimes it's harder to laugh." And I was like, "I believe it. You're a terrible actor."
Like it's either one. You suck.
Yeah.
You suck at both.
He has one thing he does in all of his movies, and it's so apparent going back to back with this and Touch of Evil. He does the same crap, and I don't feel like he feels anything. Like he doesn't convey emotion ever. He does like the things you're supposed to do when you're crying, but he does them like a robot. And, you know, like good actors, you can see it in their eyes and you can feel that they're actually feeling it.
They actually get in the zone.
Yeah.
They get in the zone. Yeah.
He doesn't do that. And
The headspace.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. He also talked on people who act, what do you call it, when people like get into it?
Method acting?
Method acting. Yeah, he shit on method actors. Which is like,
do they actually get hammered when they do a drunk scene or they actually, you know,
or just try to like,
they try to live the role
kind of, yeah,
you know,
right.
They try to really put themselves into it.
And he doesn't do that.
Yeah. Well, that's obvious.
He sucks.
Yeah. No, he also said like one of the best pieces of advice he ever received as an actor from this, I didn't write down the name, but it was some famous person that he took advice from was show up on time, remember your lines and don't bump into anything.
Yeah, it's true.
So,
and look pretty
and look good. Yeah.
Remember, shoe polish.
And
don't
suck
forget
in the stomach. Don't.
Jesus.
Nobody likes a bulgy Betty.
Pick a brand you like and stick with it. Okay.
Did you just make that up, John?
SP for life.
Well, yeah.
Okay.
Actually, I guess it'd be a Bulgy Bobby.
Bulgy Bobby.
Ooh, Bulgy Bobby.
The slave scene where Charlton Heston is, I guess, when the slaves are being dragged through the desert. Charlton Heston was not cast when they were filming that. They shot a lot, not a lot, but like a good portion of this movie before anyone was cast, just trying to like, they knew it was going to be a long shoot. So they were trying to get stuff done before they had the actual green light. So you can't really see it, but the guy that's playing the tall guy that's being dragged around is not Charlton Heston.
Oh. Nice.
Yeah.
Who cares? Didn't even notice.
You know what? What happened to Marlon Brando? Why didn't Marlon Brando get the part?
Because they wouldn't let him wear the earpiece to read him the lines or something. I don't know. That's
really?
A lie.
What?
That's a lie.
They had earpieces back then? I was going to say.
No, but you heard about that, anyway. How he needed that. Brando needed an earpiece later because he wouldn't remember his lines.
Oh, I don't care anymore.
Pretty much.
You know, but back then, I mean, he still was competent.
The boats were in a huge tank in a back lot. It was bigger than a football field, is what he said. And the horizons were matte paintings, which is big for a set.
I mean, that was a common thing. Yeah. These huge... I mean, Wizard of Oz had it.
Yeah.
Have these huge matte paintings in the background.
And they look good. They like, it looks better
kinda
than CG.
Kind of looks real.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause it's, yeah, that's true.
You just don't focus the camera on it. You don't have like sharp focus. There was a bunch of scenes.
Sometimes
where
you could kind of tell though, and it was a bit like CG. It kind of had that feel because you could see it kind of, yeah, it was a weird, I don't know, depth of field.
Yeah. I'm old though. Involved. I think CG looks way worse than matte paintings.
No, it does. But there's still that like, there's still that line that you can kind of see between the people and then there's these paintings behind them. I don't know.
Yeah. The people on the miniature boats were 11 inches tall, in case you were wondering about the scale.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
When Ben-Hur had a mustache and beard when he was in the slave boat for a while, those are fake. Very good fake beard mustache, I thought.
Yeah, I bought it.
And the reason they had to be fake is because he was jumping back and forth between being a shaven Ben-Hur and a slave Ben-Hur during the day when they needed him. So like he wasn't just, you know, they weren't filming all the slave stuff at once. He would do like slave stuff for 4 hours a day while they're prepping something else. And then he'd go and like rip that stuff off and do his hair up. And they'd be like the Roman guy and stuff. So he was bouncing all over the place. He worked 16 hours a day.
Long days.
Yeah.
Yeah.
16 hours a day for 8 months, 6 days a week. Him and William Wilder were like the two guys that
they
did
must
that.
Have just fallen apart every seventh.
Oh, by
day.
The way, well, you mentioned that Wilder did Roman Holiday, but he also did Best Years of Our Lives.
Yes. And this is the last movie we'll see.
Both
of
which I don't fucking like.
You liked Best
minute,
Years
you,
of Our Lives.
You liked Best Years of Our Lives.
I know, I'm joking.
All right.
He just wants to be pissed.
Yeah, I'm being, exactly.
Yeah, that's fine.
Exactly.
That's fine. Yeah. That's fine.
The scene where the scene where the rats were escaping off the boat or kind of chilling on the boat when they were sinking, those were not domesticated rats. They had people working on the movie run around Rome and collect rats for those shots. I don't even know how you do that.
You got rat problems, TC?
Gross. No, I used to.
You used to?
Really?
Rats suck, dude.
Oh, yeah. The Mount Hood space.
Oh, that's too
much.
So many.
Three
oh, I remember that.
Time,
I think
pantry.
We had a pocket. John, we went there once and they were like ripping down some parts
in
of it, right?
The thing. Yeah. 3 to 4 at a time
that's
in the
true,
pantry.
Right,
yeah.
Right. Yeah.
That sucks, dude. So since it was widescreen, it's 65 millimeter film with like 5 millimeter magnetic strip on it. Because of it's such a widescreen format, they would need to put the cameras way back. And because of that, they would need to add more lighting way far away from, because like if you do a smaller camera size, you can put the light closer to the people because it won't be in the shot. But since they have to be so far away, they have to use more lights, which makes all the sets super freaking hot all the time. Because you just have all these very powerful lights going, you know, like 5 times as many as you normally would. So apparently the shoot was hell. And all the outside scenes were filmed in Rome in the summertime and it was hot as hell. So,
Damn.
So I think all that sweat, all everyone being shiny, didn't have to spray.
Yeah,
them.
They were hot as
yeah.
They were dying.
Yeah, some of that stuff doesn't sound very fun. This movie probably wouldn't have been fun to make. The sets they build in movies, apparently they tear them down on purpose so cheaper movies can't go in there and use the sets
and ruin the legacy of what
they build.
Who cares
of
though?
Course.
Let them do it. Who gives a shit? No one's gonna watch those movies.
They do.
I think it's weird. I don't know. Wilder hired people who were blacklisted during that whole blacklisting period in Hollywood.
Oh, this is still during the whole McCarthy thing?
Yes. One of the guys who plays Simonitis, his name is Sam Jaffe. He was one of the guys in this movie, was blacklisted. He hired for other movies writers that were blacklisted. So he was very,
good for him.
Yeah. He was a good guy, it sounds
yeah,
like.
Yeah, screw it.
Yeah.
And the last thing, TC, some leprosy trivia. This movie was made nine years.
Let's end where we started.
It was made 9 years.
Love it. Leprosy.
Before the cure for leprosy was invented. So it was still like a hot button issue, I guess.
How's your face? It's warty.
TC, let's go to you first. Would you put this in the top 250 movies of all time?
Hell no.
John, would you?
I don't know. It's hard to, I mean, this movie certainly had a big influence and a big
impact. It's yes or no, John. Yes or no.
I know. I would just like
it's yes
to,
or no. Yes or no. Okay.
Before I say no, yes no, Senator, no. No.
Okay. Thank you. Jesus.
Right. You say no, John? I'm going to go yes. I didn't enjoy it that much, but like, holy crap, it's a freaking spectacle. And it, you know, I don't know.
I know. I was trying to get at, but TC like cut my legs out of underneath me.
Yes
and
no.
Then I just had
I thought
to
someone wanted to go
no.
to bed, John. What are you doing over there?
Easy,
huh?
Yes or no questions.
I was trying to make a good fight of it, but then TC beat
There's
me
no
up.
Fight. It's yes or no.
I'm going yes. I didn't enjoy it. I wouldn't recommend
I'm
it.
I'm going
but, like,
no.
It's crazy how big it is.
I'm going no because nobody in their goddamn, they should never have to watch it.
You going yes or no? Wait, Denny.
I'm going yes.
You're still
Denny's,
yes?
Yes.
You're going yes, but you wouldn't recommend it to anybody.
Yes. I definitely think this movie is definitely one of the craziest movies ever made, for sure.
To watch the whole movie, they should.
I would never watch, I would never make anybody watch this.
No, I would never tell anyone to watch it. I would never watch it again. Yes, it should be in the top 250.
I mean,
in the top 250, huh?
Yes. It's crazy. Some of the shit they do, it doesn't happen anywhere else, and it's still insane, like, all
yeah.
these years
So,
later.
I mean, I think, I guess what you're saying is we can all agree the production value of this movie is pretty impressive.
Oh, yeah.
However,
yeah.
the
Amazing.
Story, the reality of it, the acting,
Charlton
the rest
Heston.
Of it, not so fucking great.
Yes.
And it's 4 hours goddamn long.
Yep. So we agree. We're in agreement.
Yeah. Don't ever watch this, people, because it's 4 hours long. And don't watch this one on our behalf, because it's terrible. If you want to watch 4 hours of your life drain down the fucking drain.
Stick your head in the toilet.
Yeah.
Guys, sure. I don't think there could be a better movie for following up this movie, personally. We're going to watch The Princess Bride next week.
Yay.
Rob Reiner.
A storybook story.
TC has never
I
seen, this,
seen this,
which
one.
Surprises me so much because it's on TV all the goddamn time. The synopsis.
Now, there's
this,
a good chance that I have never understood what the title was for a thing I've seen on TV. So
yes.
That might, you never know.
You that, probably yeah. have seen
you
it.
You might have seen
I'm
it.
Looking, I'm looking it up right now.
I'd be real surprised.
The synopsis is, while homesick in bed, a young boy's grandfather reads him a story called The Princess Bride. Doesn't that sound nice? Oh, I can't wait.
Mm. Okay, no, I've never seen this.
Oh, awesome. I'm actually a little worried that you might not like it, but we'll see.
I'm probably going to hate it. I'm reading the description now. This sounds terrible.
I saw it as a kid, you know. And
same.
And
I saw it as
then,
a very
right?
young kid.
Oh,
so anyway,
God, this
anyway.
Sounds horrible.
No, you're like,
anyway,
it's fun. It's
great.
Fun, dude.
I can't wait for this one, folks.
It's short. It's short, dude. That's all that matters. Yeah.
I'll make sure to drink a lot of beer.
Oh, yeah.
You might enjoy it.
Yeah, I think so. But go to our website. Thanks for listening, by the way. This is a weird little
rate
thing.
Rate and subscribe.
Rate and subscribe on iTunes. Go to our website, mission250filmcast.com.
Yeah, actually, try to rate. We've lately got like 18 reviews ever since we started. Let's go for 19. Come on, guys. Somebody.
Come on, 19.
More. If you guys are thinking you won't make a difference, we will notice it, and we will thank you.
Yeah.
I know it's really hard to review and stuff. It's very annoying. I'm not saying that sarcastically.
Yes,
I barely
I
do it myself.
You listened like all the way through to this point. My God.
Yeah, you better give us 5 stars. Yeah. What are you doing
or
with
maybe
your life?
They fell asleep and woke up just now.
And we're yelling at them to rate us. We're like, I don't like these guys.
Rate us.
They talked 3 stars. They talked just as much as about lepers and cheese as they did about the movie.
Jesus.
What is
yeah,
this?
Right. Yeah, right. I mean, the movie was great, but the cheese and lepers were made me a little sick.
Yes. And on that note, guys, let's end this weird episode.
Let's go.
Next week, next week, guys. Later.
All right. Princess Bride.
See you guys.
Peace.